Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. I am in Cincinnati with the 500 Padres, but the kind of hot Padres. Ryan Finley joins me from San Diego. Padres just won 3 of 4 in Atlanta. Xander Bogaerts got hurt. We'll talk about these things. Ryan, where would you like to start?
They're good again. I want to get off this ride, Kevin.
Yeah.
You know, when we talked before the Atlanta series, you know, we talked about how important the next 10 games were, and we wondered sort of where they would find the wins to get to a respectable place by Memorial Day. And they were coming off a sweep by the Rockies and what do? They go out and they win the first 3 games in a 4-game series in Atlanta. They rally, come from behind, continue to do some of the things that they've been doing so far this season. They pitch great. I thought it was a very encouraging series coming off of maybe the most discouraging series of their season. This segment is brought to you by Hamul Casino. Kick off summer at their annual block party on June 15th. It's a full day of free play, live music, free food, and more. Learn more at HamulCasinoSD.com.
They've had a lot of encouraging series.
Right.
Like if we all would stop and think about it, there's the Dodgers, who you just kind of can't get out of your brain, right? Like right. They seem to always be winning, right? And there's some other teams that win 100 games, and the Braves are going through it right now, right? But last year, the Braves did not lose 4 in a row, I believe. It might even have been 3 in a row, but I think it was 4 in a row. They never lost 4 in a row. So, like, there are these teams, but for the most part, if we stop and think about it, how is it that wild card teams, like, get to be to 87 wins? Mm-hmm. By the roller coaster. Like, this is how it goes. Now, that said, this is what I will say about the Padres. Mm-hmm. For 3 years now, save for that. Like, we always forget about this. I've talked to so many people that just kind of forget about September of last year. Because it didn't matter, right? They had the 8-game winning streak. They won 14-16, but it was like it didn't matter. But save for that, we're going on 3 years now where the Padres just don't put together winning streaks, right? Even in 2022, 5 was their top. Now they're at 4. And it's like they're not giving themselves any sort of cushion. They're just having to fight so much. And that's great that they call themselves fighters and they take pride in it. They would also prefer to not have to be so scrappy.
Right, right. And they would prefer to build, like you said, a cushion so that when the inevitable slump happens, when the inevitable losing streak happens, it's not something where it's going to really throw your season off. You know?
Like they did, they won 3 of 4 and they leave 500, right?
Right, right.
Like if they hadn't had that great comeback, they would have split with the Braves and right. come back under 500. Like, right. or not come back, come to Cincinnati. I just consider Cincinnati home, I guess. That's exactly it. It's like, I think we've talked about it in this context before. They feel like the basketball team that falls behind by 12 gets back to tie it and then is just exhausted. It's different, but it reminds me of that.
Yes, absolutely. You press and you trap and you press and you trap and you foul. And then at the end, you're just out of gas. And
hey, that's our theory. Mike Schilt's theory, the theory the Padres have bought into is we play this type of baseball and we are going to get to the required amount of wins and be peaking at the end of the season. That's their take on this.
Right. I also think enjoying, Kevin, allow me to go off on a tangent here. I find this team very fun to watch. I think that they're enjoyable. I think that there are some great stories, and we'll get into a couple of them, Jeremiah Estrada among them, that make this team easier to like than maybe last year. Okay. But I think enjoying this team has to come with the realization that they're not the Dodgers, that this is not the when Peter Seidler talked about the 2020s being the decade of the Padres, right? That hasn't happened. It's 2024 already, right? You need to look at this team. I find this team to be so much more enjoyable to watch when you say they're trying to be the Diamondbacks. They're trying to do what the Diamondbacks did last year. And there was a time last year where the Diamondbacks went on big winning streaks and looked great. And then there was about a month when they could not buy a victory. And I think that this team becomes more fun to watch when you say, look, the goal is a wild card because you're not catching the Dodgers. The goal is to try to get hot the same way the Diamondbacks did in September and October. And then you take your chances. I mean, Diamondbacks were a team that ended up going to the World Series and had a real shot to win the whole friggin' thing, right? But comparing yourself to the Dodgers as the season goes on is a surefire way to make you mad. I think somebody who follows the Padres.
Yeah, and for to be at the Dodgers, right, which we both talked about, or this ideal of a team that should win more or something like that. And expectations are great, but like, and I'll say this, if Manny Machado were hitting more often like he has the last 3 days or 2 days, if Fernando Tatis Jr. were hitting better, if Xander Bogaerts had gotten hot sooner, you know what? With the way and the rest of their team were playing the way that it is, the Padres would have 5-6 more wins at least. There's just no way if those guys were playing up to their capabilities. I still don't know that they would be Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani, but you'd be like, wow, this is two really good teams. Like the record would say it. Not just like us saying, oh, hey, I see this good about the Padres. I see this good. Oh, they play these games. The records would be like, whoa, it'd be these Braves happening, you know? But that's not happening. And we'll get into Manny. We'll get into Xander. You know, we can get into Tatis, but we only have so much time.
Sure. Well, let's get into Xander Bogaerts. Again, he injured himself in the field yesterday. I thought watching it looked really bad. They said after the game that imaging on him was negative, which means that he did not break anything. But what are we looking at here?
Right. It was so we're talking about x-rays, right? Yes. And so there either already has been or will be today an MRI, right? And find out, is it a labrum tear? How severe is the labrum tear? Look, all the talk yesterday was very positive. Look, the swelling could be still swollen. Maybe he was, you know, adrenaline, because I did not get to see Xander. It's one of the hazards of, you know, the team's trying to make the bus and get out of there after a doubleheader. And I did not get to see Xander, but all the word was that he was in good spirits. And that could just be relative to when he walked off the field. I mean, the guy untucked his shirt right away. He was in terrible pain. It looked bad, right? You could be talking like, flashing through your mind, Jung-Hoo Lee, labrum surgery, right? It does not appear that, but could it be something he battles the rest of the season, that the shoulder popped out and you know, that's something he deals with? We've seen a guy here who does that. Now, Xander doesn't swing like Fernando. Maybe it's more manageable for Fernando if that is what it is, or more manageable for Xander if that is what it is, a labrum tear of some sort. And there are degrees of labrum tears vary greatly.
Yeah. One of the downsides of having a podcast on the day that series start is I'm going to ask you right now to speculate on something that will probably become official here within a matter of hours. This looks like an injured list, correct?
Yeah, that's what it does look like. I mean, he's not Manny or Austin Riley for the Braves, who they've had him like on the sideline for 8 days. You know, like we've seen the Padres do with Manny a couple times where, if you can get two or three games from him, you're not going to put him on the IL. This is also, I think, kind of severe. And so I severe enough that a 10-day rest would probably be really good. That is educated speculation at this point, that the fear is I think it's called a subluxation, it popped out, and that's just something that's painful, needs to get some stability back into it, some exercises, figure out the severity and where they go from there.
Right. And where do they go from there? I mean, if we're talking just about who plays where every day, where do you think they're going to start?
Have a second baseman that they acquired.
They have about six of them. Yeah.
is he as good as Xander? Defensively, is he, hitting whatever it is, 350 for the Padres? Yes, Luis Arraez is. So does he hit righties and lefties? Yes, he does. So I think that's pretty – but also you're going to see probably Tyler Wade get some work, more work, because, they do want to give days off. But Tyler Wade bats left-handed, so when do you give Arraez days off? It could be, does Manny need a day off here or there? He seems to be getting stronger and better. They should be able to fill that in.
Right. And to me, the question becomes, you just slot Arraez in as your second baseman and call up somebody who might be outfield help. Call up somebody who might be, I look at David Peralta, the freight train, signed him a couple days ago. If he played as well for the Padres as he has played against them, he'd be a Hall of Famer. He's a left-handed bat, a guy who could be a backup outfielder, somebody who could contribute. But again, he's only been with them for a number of days.
Right, but he did get over a month with the Cubs in their AAA. So right. It is possible. Sure.
Right. Right. Does he make
sense? Because they got him because they've had injuries and they don't have anybody else really performing down there. Like no one jumps to mind where you say Eggy Rosario, sure, absolutely. But you now have Luis Arraez.
Right.
Like Eggy isn't maybe necessarily make the sense that he would just be a no-brainer before Arraez comes. It's kind of like, well, who are you going to use? I would probably lean toward Eggy at this point, but you know, depends on what they want to do.
Well, and are you leaning? I think that the larger question is are you trying to add a guy who you're going to work into the mix, or are you trying to add a pinch hitter, right? Yep. Eggy Rosario is not a guy who's been a good pinch hitter, or is not a guy who Eggy Rosario wants to play every day, needs to play every day probably somewhere. You look at somebody like Batten, who I think has played a lot better of late at AAA. I don't know what they think of him sort of internally. I mean, to me, my big question today is, yeah, is it David Peralta time? Or do you go with somebody?
I don't think that you are bringing up a guy with the intention that he's going to play more than twice a week tops at this point. Right. But they do have, what, 3, 6, 9 games in a row. Then I think a day off and then I believe another long stretch of games. So maybe.
Yeah.
Very careful. They've been giving guys break. But we are getting to the close to the what I think Friday's the 1/3 point of the season. Memorial mm-hmm. Day coming up Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're getting into that point where, hey, you know, it's probably time to start putting your best lineup out there as often as you can. I'm not talking Braves, but I mean, they play those guys constantly. Maybe a little more regularity.
Absolutely. Starting with a 3-game series with the Cincinnati Reds that begins a little bit later today. Joe Musgrove is back. Let's talk about that a little bit. I know that when they put him on the injured list, they said it was precautionary. Those of us, I'm pointing to myself here, went, ooh, but when, you know, sometimes precautionary isn't just precautionary. It appears as if it's been precautionary.
Yeah, both he and Yu Darvish. And if it can work out as well as Yu Darvish's little rest and mechanical tweaks did. And Joe, whose last start was May 1st against the Reds, it was his best start, which was what made it sort of surprising, even though he had acknowledged he was working through some stuff. It made it surprising that, you know, 4 days later he was on the IL. But really good start at home against the Reds. So I think, what was it? Who was it? Steer? Spencer Steer hit a homer off him, and then he allowed one more run, but he struck out 9, didn't walk anybody. Velocity was up, and he says that he's in that place now, that mechanically and physically he feels fantastic. So here we go. Fantastic not being his term, because I don't know. Joe's just always dealing with stuff, but Joe says he's in a really, really good place. So
Joe Musgrove, you had a great note.
Go ahead.
And you had a great note about that, too. He had said, hey, this has happened before, and usually if you give it a few days, I think he used the phrase a few days, it's been a couple of weeks, but usually if you give it a few days, it calms down and it allows him to go back and pitch the way that he wants to. So it does sound like this was truly precautionary.
Yes, it does. So that is very good. I mean, like that is really good because Yu Darvish has come back and stabilized, I don't know. I mean, certainly stabilized his spot in the rotation. 4 starts, 0 runs, 24 innings. Go back to the final inning he threw before going to the IL. We got a career-long 25-inning scoreless streak. 7 innings, 2 hits, obviously no runs. The last 2 starts, Yu Darvish has you know, I used the word cornerstone the other day. Dylan Cease, his upside, his ability to dominate might be greater, but, you know, the consistency is something that Dylan Cease has looked for basically his entire career. And we saw the other day that didn't have a good start, which happens. But I think that if you have all 3 of those guys going, like not all 3 of them are going to suck in a row. Right. So, and look, Randy Vasquez, nice job yesterday. Randy Vasquez gets an extra start because of the rain out, and then they were going to have to add a starter. So the better thing to do is push Joe back from Sunday to Tuesday so that you don't have to make the move with Vasquez before that. And Vasquez gets an extra start, and he goes 6 innings. It's a quality start. Now, he gave up 10 hits. Didn't feel like a quality start, but it was. And, I mean, quality starts, your team can win. The Padres have been winning their starters' quality starts. So that was great. But he's not Joe Musgrove. He's not Yu Darvish, the guys he's been filling in for. And so having all 3 of those guys is so key to the Padres' success. And so they're back.
Right. It is so fun to watch Yu Darvish when he's dialed in the way he was the other day. I mean, he throws so many pitches. He's so smart the way he attacks hitters. And when it's going, I mean, this isn't like watching, and this is no knock on anybody else. This isn't like watching a guy who throws 100, right? It's watching him, you know, think through an at bat to attack guys with a bunch of different pitches. Everything he has is nasty and just really fun to watch. And again, this is a rotation that, man, you can dream on a little bit, right? If you can get Musgrove back and healthy and pitching better, you've got Darvish. It seems like Darvish is fixed or relatively so. And then, you know, if King and Cease could be at least a little bit more complete, a little bit more consistent, man, those are four pretty good pitchers, you know,
lines up well. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a playoff type rotation where you go, all right, cool. Gonna go in and have a, you know, go in and these guys are going to step up. And so, and then that's what you want. That's what you need for the ultimate goal. But those types of guys are also the guys who, like I'm saying, you got all three of them and you've got a chance for excellence every time through those three. And then you've got a little breathing room, like, okay, all right, our number four and five guys can be number four and five guys. Okay. And okay, Dylan Cease had an off day, but okay, it's all right. Here comes Joe Musgrove. You know, or whatever it is, you know, Joe had an off day. Okay. Here comes Yu Darvish, whatever. If you only have one of those guys or two of those guys.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We've all watched a lot of Padres teams that have tried bullpen days and patching it together and on the spot auditions. And, you know, need I say the name Jake Arrieta or what is it? Vince Velasquez again, right? These were, when you have healthy starting pitching, you have a chance to win every day. Can we talk a little bit about this Red Series? Again, starting tonight, Andrew Abbott versus Joe Musgrove, Abbott's left-hander. Pretty good numbers given where he pitches, which is Great American Ballpark, and then it's a band box. 2-4 of the ERA of 3. He's been okay. Lefty, what do we know about him and what do we know about the Reds?
I don't know much about Andrew Abbott because the first thing I look at when I see these three guys is that you get to miss Nick Lodolo, who's on the IL. I mean, I'm not saying that you're celebrating Nick Lodolo being on the IL, but you're celebrating not, you know, having to see him. And you get to miss Graham Ashcraft, who has owned you his past three starts. Yes. So that's what I see. Now, Andrew Abbott, doesn't throw very hard, but has some good secondary pitches, gets some swing and miss. That's about the extent of my knowledge there. Nick Martinez, tomorrow night, I know him very well. He's going against Michael King, who got pushed back and also got aced out of meeting his old team, the Yankees, when the rain altered the rotation. But he'll pitch here in the band box of Great American Ballpark. Martinez, his last start was the Padres. What was that, May 3rd? I think it was five runs, but only two of them were earned. He's basically been filling the same role with the Reds as he was with the Padres. I think his last four appearances have been out of the bullpen. He has not started since facing the Padres, but he'll start tomorrow.
He has an ERA of 1 coming out of the bullpen.
Yep. Same guy, basically.
Yeah. 6.86 ERA when he starts.
Capable though of throwing up 7 shutout, right? Like if he's on that night and he's not walking guys, then Nick is fully capable of coming out as he did. Just go back and check his game logs with the Padres. But yes, has been far more effective out of the bullpen with both teams over the long haul. Frankie Montas, Padres, I have in my mind that I've seen him pitch in person a few times. I think he's up near a 4.5 ERA and has not been doing well lately. Like his past 4 or 5 starts, there was like one quality start in there and it's still like a 6.5 ERA or something over his last 5 starts. He'll go against Matt Waldron, who also saw these guys in San Diego. 6 innings, gave up 4 runs, gave up Ellie De La Cruz a home run. Ellie De La Cruz only has 1 homer since then. And that was like April 29th or 28th or something. So now Ellie De La Cruz is batting like 220 since then, has 1 homer, like getting on base at like 330 or something, still has managed to steal 12 bases since then. It's like, it's amazing. It's like 18 games that he's batting. Let me just look. So I know it is. It's 221 with a 293 on base percentage over the past 8 games. A sub 300 on base percentage, and he has 12 stolen bases in that span, 30 for the season.
9 home runs, 30 RBIs. And like you said, we're nearing the one third of the way mark. So let's extrapolate for funsies. That 30 home runs, 90 stolen bases.
Yeah.
That would be some season.
It's like 100 right now based on, I think they might be, I don't know if it's been rain or what, but they might be a handful of games. Correct me if I'm wrong, behind the Padres.
Yeah. That's just wild. You've seen him play before. I mean, it would be weird to do a podcast about the Reds and not talk at least a little bit about Elly De La Cruz. You've seen him and you saw Tatis when Tatis was coming up, but I'm tempted to compare the two. I know that that's dangerous. How do they compare to you?
But in terms of guys who, so playing shortstop at the time for Tatis, the speed, the arm, the power, there's these combination, kind of the wild horse doing things that other people don't do, including making errors over at shortstop because that arm is crazy and you're trying to make plays that other people can't, right? And your team is writing this balance of let the kid play and also like, hey, dude, hey, maybe that throw. But you're just like stealing home, taking two bases when you have no business taking two bases because you can do it and the other team, can't stop it. I'm very wary of comparisons, but that is one that is free to make. I may have said this on the last podcast, when I was in the Dominican, Tatis Sr. said there's only two players he stays up late to watch, and you can guess one. And since we're talking about Elly De La Cruz, you can probably guess both. He will stay up, and so when they play each other, and Elly De La Cruz did work with Tatis Sr. this offseason, he only has to watch one game then.
Wow. The Reds, by the way, have played three fewer games than the
Padres.
Okay. So Padres played 50. They played 47. Before we go, Kevin, I always put you on the spot, but I'm fascinated by stuff like this. Take me through a rainout and what it means for you, Kevin Acey. Not what it means for the Padres, what it means for you.
This is not, I want to get the disclaimers out of the way. I'm one of the luckiest guys in the world and I love my job, but the past 48 hours is one of those where there are moments where you go, what am I doing to myself? What is this? I can't help myself. I thought a lot of good things, interesting things happened in the Saturday night game. So I stayed up doing that newsletter. There has not been a lot of sleep since Saturday. You have to remake your reservations. I only fly one airline because flying sucks. Flying is the worst part of this job between delays. The fact that my airline's become a credit card company that flies, meaning that people that run, millions of dollars through their business get all the upgrades now, not the people that actually earned them. Sorry to be a real baby about that. But I was upgraded on my way from Atlanta to Cincinnati, but not after the delay. And I had to spend more of your money, Ryan Finley, because you are now making a change. So I'm just kind of going stream of consciousness. You ask, what does it mean for me? It's a lot of sitting around. Here's what I want to say. And this, I love this kind of stuff. So go to Atlanta and you expect a rain delay, kind of like when you come to Cincinnati, though it's looking pretty good here. But and they do it so it's crazy. Like, I've been there twice now where the radar shows there's no chance this is stopping, yet they don't call it. Last time it was for 6 hours and it was on a getaway day in 2021. They ended up finishing that game in San Diego. It was unbelievable. It was pouring like 6 inches of standing water. And the radar, because those fields are amazing, is in the south and the east. They drain like really well. But the radar was showing this wasn't stopping for like 12 days, okay? And they still did not call it until like 11 o'clock. This one they didn't call, I think it was 10 o'clock. But this was a great moment for me. So I'm sitting there kind of seething, right? Like, I'd like to go back to my rooms. I've got a lot 3 days ahead of me now because of this, right? But you look out at that crowd and it's warm out. Kids love. Remember that when you were a kid?
Oh yeah.
And it rained and it was warm. These kids are out there drenched. They're playing music. There's college age kids, older people. They're dancing. Of course, beer's still for sale during a rain delay. Mm-hmm. I have rarely seen people have that much fun doing nothing. Basically, it was like a dance party at Truist Park. And I thought, okay, this is going to bum me out. This is going to make my next few days really hard. But the people that are here, they could care less. They are loving this. Like, they were having so much fun. And I just thought that was neat to see and a good reminder for me of how lucky I am to be in a ballpark every day. But there's really, we are so, so incredibly lucky. What was that? My first time sitting around Petco Park, I think, for longer than a half hour earlier this year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that happens 5, 6, 8, 10 times to beat writers in Cincinnati, Philadelphia, New York, Atlanta. Like, and you're just constantly rescheduling. And so there's my long stream of consciousness. Make me look like a jerk answer, but you asked.
I think that's a great place to leave it. Padres, Reds, 3-game series. And then, Kevin, the Yankees are coming. We can talk Yankees on Friday. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.